Lord, we're so grateful and thankful that we can hear the word that you've given John this morning. Lord, I pray you would have open hearts, ears, and minds, God, to hear from you today. What you've given him. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I just probably thought I would do this now, because if I didn't do it now, I'd probably forget about it later on. And we're going to be talking about, and I'm going to be giving you testimonies, yes. All right. I need to get fixed up. All right. Try that. All right. I'm going to grab one of these. I might need one of these before the service is over. I'll tell you why here pretty soon. All this is a little paper. It just says, renew your mind at the top of it. And then it's got some scriptures of the important things of why it's important to renew your mind with the Word of God. But even more, since I am giving testimonies this morning of what God can do in your life and in what he has done in my life, I just want you to realize that the more you hear testimonies, the more your faith arises for God to do the same in your particular life. So this has got some scriptures on it here. And then down below here, it's got some places where you can go in and you can watch the most amazing testimonies of God healing people of everything you can think of, and some different websites there. So if you want one of these after you leave, there are about 50 copies there at the information center to take one with you, and you can listen to some more amazing testimonies of every incurable disease known to man that God has cured, because we serve an amazing Savior. So I get that out of the way. I want to just quickly open in prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your love for all of us here at the Life Center. And Holy Spirit, I thank you. I know you are here because you dwell in each one of us here this morning. When we received you as our Savior and Lord, you came in to dwell in each one of us. And I'm just asking you, Holy Spirit, to come into this service even in a greater way. Begin to speak to each one who is here. Begin to encourage them and help their faith to know that there is nothing in their life that you cannot do, Father. So speak to hearts this morning as I share my testimonies. In Jesus' name, amen. So I want to say good morning to all of you wonderful people here in the Life Center and for all of you people online out there, and I hope that you enjoy what I am going to be sharing with you today. I just thought that I better share just a little bit, because even though some of you have been in the Life Center for a long time, there is a whole bunch of new people who have no idea who this guy is who's standing up here in front of you. So I'm just going to give you a very short, brief introduction to myself. I grew up in the big town of 300 and some of Julietta, Idaho. How many of you know where Julietta, Idaho is? Yeah, I went to grade school there, and I went to Kendrick High School. I was a Kendrick Tiger for quite a few years. And then after I went to Kendrick until my junior year, and then my parents moved to Lewiston, and I'll be talking about that a little bit later on. So then I became a Bengal Tiger instead of a Kendrick Tiger. But that's my life. And then I decided to go to college. And so I went to college, Northwest Bible College, my first year in Kirkland, Washington. Came back and went to the University of Idaho, and then finished up at LCSC in college and became a school teacher. I got a job in the middle of the year because a school teacher up at Kuski Junior High, his father had passed away, and he had inherited this huge cattle ranch in Oregon, and he wanted to go work those cows. So they called down to the college in Lewiston and said, hey, have you guys got any teachers down there that are available? And my elementary ed teacher, he walked up to me and said, Swan, do you want a job? And I go, yeah. And he says, well, they need someone up in Kuski to teach history and coach and do a bunch of other things. Why don't you go up and apply? So I did. And I got a job there in the middle of the year during the Christmas break. In 1972, I came here, and it was that was a miracle itself, because I'm an outdoors guy. And you can't get more outdoorsy than up here in Kuski, Idaho. I said, man, I'm going to teach school, and there's hunting, and there's fishing, and there's camping, and there's hiking, and there's boating and rafting. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for giving me a job there. So I came up to here. And then I grew up in the Assembly of God in the church in Kendrick, Idaho, which my father and one other man named Ted Grenells built. And there I was involved with the Assembly of God, but when I came to Kamei, there was no Assembly of God. But there was another church there called the Pentecostal Church of God, and I looked, they believed the same thing that we Assembly of God people did, so we went there, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, this is your home, stay here. And so since 1973, I have been in the Pentecostal Church of God, now known to you as the Life Center. So there are a few of us back there, the Swearingtons and the Shounds and things like that, who have been here for the last 50 years. But that's kind of who I am. And then when I got into the church, not only was I teaching in school, but I began to teach the adult class there at the Pentecostal Church of God. And I'm still teaching the adult class. So they've had to put up with me for 50 years teaching the adult class. And it's been a great opportunity to share the magnificent grace of our God in our life. So anyway, that's a little bit about me to begin with. You know, I asked the Holy Spirit when I found out that I was going to be speaking a couple of Sundays. I asked him, what do you want me to share? What is your will for me when I minister in the Life Center in August? And here's what I heard he say. I wrote it down. He said, my son, I have called you to represent me in my light and in my love. And then he said, give me all the glory. I loved it when the songs we were singing this morning were talking about the glory. I'm going, man, I didn't know they were going to sing songs about the glory, but that's going right along with what I have. So I said, yeah, Holy Spirit, after each testimony, I'm going to give you the glory, because without you, I would have nothing. So I want to share the miraculous love and protection that God has given me throughout my life and give God the glory. And then, of course, songs pop into my head all of the time. And usually those songs are out of a hymn book that we used forever. Just the way the Holy Spirit speaks to me. And so after he told me he wanted to give him the glory, the song came to me, to God be the glory, great things he hath done. I'm not going to sing that to you, but that is something I just wanted to share with you. So I'm going to ask you guys to get involved in the service. Remember last service, every time we mentioned the word baptize, all you guys went nuts. Woo! Well, I'm going to ask you, I'm going to be pointing at you guys after I give a testimony, and I'm going to be saying, God, I give you the glory. And then you know, I point, you just say, to God be the glory. Let's practice it, all right?
To God be the glory.
Hallelujah. Because he deserves all the glory. Amen. That we can give him. My main text this morning is the last part of Revelation 19:10. I think they're going to put it up on the screen behind me. Oh, yeah. And it's all about John worshiping an angel, and the angel says, don't do that. I don't take worship. But I want you to pay attention to the last part. It says, who hold your brothers, who hold the testimony of Jesus, Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So that last part, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Now, you're all my friends out there, and I just want to tell you that throughout the centuries of history, every believer's received miracles and answered prayers is their testimony, and it is their prophecy to others. I'm reminded of the song, "He'll Do It Again." He'll do it again. God just loves to repeat himself. And so when you hear my testimony, which is the testimony of what Jesus did in my life, I want you to know that it is a prophetic word to you that he will do the same thing in your life that he has done in mine. And so later on at the end of the service, when I have those of you who the Holy Spirit has spoken to come up to receive whatever you need, you'll be coming up there to receive because you have heard the prophetic word of what God wants to do in your particular life. "To God be the glory" is the praise testimony of millions of believers over the last 2,000 years. Their testimonies are a prophetic word for each of you here today in the Life Center and for those of you who are online. My nose is already beginning to run. I'll explain that in a few minutes. Most people have their nose runs because they have a cold. My nose runs because I'm feeling the Holy Spirit. So when the tears run down my cheeks and my nose run, I'm like, "Oh God, could you do a better way of showing, you know, your presence in my life?" And he said, "Well, you're just going to have to put up with it, John." And if any of you ever seen my son Jeff up here, you know he's inherited his dad's crying and nose running as well. Oh, going on with what we are supposed to be saying, my favorite saying is this. Hopefully it will become your favorite saying as well. It says, "A man or a woman with an experience," and I just put after that, "a testimony." If you have an experience with God, you suddenly have a testimony, right? A man or woman with an experience, a testimony, is never at the mercy of a man or woman with only an argument. People come to me and say, "Oh, there is no God, there is no heaven or hell." And I'm going, "Sorry, it won't work with me. I have experienced too much. I have seen his power. I have felt his power. His power has healed me. His power has changed millions of lives. It ain't gonna work with me. I am a man with experience, and so are each one of you here today. How many of you today have experienced or witnessed God's miraculous power changing your life or someone else's life? Just wave your hand. All right, a lot of hands out there waving. Remember? Thank you, Jesus, for what you have done in everyone here in the Life Center. I'm going to have them show a couple pictures I just told Kirsten because I might not even get to these pictures today. Maybe I will, but I didn't want to show them at the end of my presentation and change the order of the service. Oh, yeah, okay, just I'll explain that a little bit. That's a 32-foot diesel pusher motorhome with a Ford Mustang sticking through the rear window in the Locksaw River. It's there because it had just smashed into me seconds before on Highway 12 at milepost 102. And then after it hit us, it went into the river and stopped there. If you can show the other picture. Ah, that's my 150 Ford pickup who has just kissed a 32-foot diesel pusher motorhome, and it's sitting there in the middle of the highway. Now, ask yourself, how can a God turn that into multiple miracles. Well, we might get started in that. I'm just looking at the clock. Wow, I still have 34 minutes before I'm planning on letting you go. So I'll go as far as I can, but I showed you those pictures because a lot of next week is going to be hearing what God can do for you in the most horrible circumstances of your life. And what he does for me, he can do for you. All right, so I'm going to just start off with my very first testimony. And this was a testimony not about my faith, but my parents' faith. I was born an almost perfect child. Unfortunately, for whatever reason, I had no tear ducts. I was what they called a dry-eyed baby, and I was miserable because my eyes were like the Sahara Desert. They had to put eye drops in all the time, and my parents had to put eye drops in all the time. And when I would wake up from a nap, my eyes would literally be dried shut, and they had to use heated washcloths so I could open my eyes again. And constantly, they took me to the doctor after a couple days, and they examined and said, well, later on when it gets a little stronger, we'll try to operate and give him artificial tear ducts. So that was the facts of my life. Sometime in the future, operation, artificial tear ducts, providing they could do that. Well, my mom, of course, she is a woman of faith, and she hears that there is an evangelist. By the way, this took place in Long Beach, California, where my mother and father had gone there during the war. My father welded Liberty ships, took supplies to help defeat Hitler and Japan. And my mom had flown down there to marry my father in 1946. And they had my sister, Linda, in 1946. And I was born, for all of you who don't like Californians, I'm sorry, I have a California birth certificate. And I lived there for 6 months and four till we returned to Idaho. My father grew up in Deary, Idaho, out on Texas Ridge, one-room schoolhouse. My mother grew up in Kendrick, Idaho. She walked 2.5 miles every day to go to school there in Kendrick. So my parents were born and bred in Idaho, and so I came back to Idaho after 6 months. But anyway, I still have that California birth certificate. All right, going on with the testimony, my mom heard that there was a healing evangelist holding meetings in Los Angeles. My sister says the evangelist's name was A.A. Allen. You probably maybe have heard of him. But anyway, to make a long story short, she, in faith, decided to take me there because she knew that with God, all things are possible. And what happened? Yeah, I got prayed for. And guess what happened? The next morning, I had perfectly formed tear ducts. Never had to ever have an operation. Amen to God be the glory. I didn't bring any water up these days. I got these little white things, these breath mints. I learned when I do Gideon presentations, I'll put one of these in my mouth and hide it up here in my lip. It stimulates my salivary glands, and it's just like drinking water. So I was starting to get what they call that dreaded disease that speakers get called cotton mouth. So I would get one of these started. So that was 1949. That's called the tear duct miracle. And like I said, it was the faith of my parents and the power of God that made that happen. The next one, we'll jump to the year of 1956. And it's a personal miracle, but my sister, I was probably 6 or 7. My sister was 9, and we lived in the basement of a house in Julietta, Idaho. And we had lots of dogs and cats, and most of the cats were feral, and they just got mice. But we had this one cat that my sister and I loved. Her name was Peanuts. We named her Peanuts because she was all white, but she had brown blotches on her whites that looked like a peanut. So that's why we called her Peanuts. This cat was an amazing cat, because, I mean, this cat was like, would allow you to do anything to it. My sister would dress it up in doll clothes. And the cat would just grin and just go along with it. And I would take my Tonka truck with a big trailer on the back, and I would put a pillow there, and I would lay the cat in the Tonka truck on its back. And I would take a little Kerr jar lid, and I would put some soft cat food on it. And the cat was laying there on his back, and I was pulling him around the living room, and he would reach over once in a while, take a bite of food. I mean, this was an amazing cat, and we loved this cat. Well, one morning when we got up, the only heat in our basement was a fireplace, and my father would get up early, and we'd get up and stand in front of the fireplace and get warm. But our cat, Penis, was in a basket, and as her legs were rigid, and she was having tremors, and her whole body was trembling. And we're going, "What's wrong, Mom, with our cat?" And she says, "Your cat has feline distemper. And if God doesn't do anything, Phoenix is going to pass away very, very quickly." So we're saying, what can we do? I guess that brings us to the next scripture, Matthew 18:3, up there. Only one part of this scripture really supplies, but it says, and said, "Truly I say unto you, unless you repent, change, turn about, and become like little children, trusting, lowly, loving, forgiving, you can never enter the kingdom of heaven at all." It's from the Amplified Bible there. The part I want you to think is we need to be like little children. We need to be trusting in God. And we had no unbelief at that time. Mom said that God could heal that cat. And so we are going to pray that God's going to heal our cat. And boy, did we start praying. What were the facts? Phoenix was going to die. What was the truth? God can do anything. 20 minutes later, our cat's perfectly whole and running around and lived for several more years. So anyway, things like that begin to shape me, especially then, because I saw God's glory. This wasn't even in my notes. Most babies are born, they get their first word, mama, papa, whatever your word. My mother recorded this, and I heard it years later I didn't even know they made wire recorders, but she had wire recorders at that particular time. And I'd be laying in my crib, and I would be going, day-dee-die. And my parents were going, "What is he saying?" And then my mom said, "I know what he is saying. He's saying a song that we sing in church all the time. It goes like this. Safe am I, safe am I in the hollow of his hand." And so I just, that's kind of interesting. My first words were, "Safe am I in the hollow of God's hand." My next miracle took place 1961. I was 12 years of age. I had grown up in a Assembly of God church where they believed in manifestations of the Holy Spirit, where they believed in the gifts of the Spirit, and they liked to see the Holy Spirit come into the building and demonstrate himself. So, and I was familiar with that. And I'd seen God demonstrate himself in a lot of particular ways. And I was at a church service at the Lewiston Assembly of God at this particular time at 12. I don't know why we were down there, but the speaker was saying, "Hey, if you guys aren't already infilled with the power of the Holy Spirit, you know, you got the Holy Spirit living in you when you were saved, but you need to let him out of your spirit. You need to let him into your soul. You need to let him into your mind, your will, and your emotions. You need to let him into your body." You know, when you let the Holy Spirit out of your spirit and into your body, then you get emotional. You cry, and then you do physical things. You wave your hands. Sometimes you dance a little jig, you know, because he's now. But he's not going to move out into your soul and your body unless you give him permission. And that's what being filled with the Holy Spirit is all about. But I said at 12, "I want this. I am not going to go any farther in my life without the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. I want to speak in an unknown tongue. Why wouldn't I? Why wouldn't I want the Holy Spirit interceding for me before the Father? That's what it tells you is happening in 1 Corinthians chapters 12 and 14. Why wouldn't I want me to hear and God reveal mysteries to me and do, and sometimes I could even use it in tongues and interpretation and a lot of other stuff. So anyway, I went down there and I began to tarry for the Holy Spirit, and I wasn't the only one, but the Holy Spirit came. Next thing I know, I'm on my back on the floor right in front of the front pew there at the church, the Assembly of God Church in Lewiston, Idaho, which no longer exists. How many of you know where Albertsons is today on 21st Street? Well, right where Albertsons is, that's where the church was that I was at, and the church where I was married, you know, later on. But anyway, I was down in front, and it was amazing. I don't know whether there was an invisible angel or it was just the power of God electrocuting me, but I'm on my back and I'm speaking in a prayer language, and my arms were up for hours. No tiredness, no nothing. I mean, because that was the power of God. When I got up, I could have had my worst enemy, the biggest bully in school, come up to me, and I'd have gave him a giant hug because I was literally overflowing with the love of God that was flowing through me. That was a miracle. Hopefully you guys have all experienced that. I'm just going to make a suggestion. If you haven't experienced the infilling of the Holy Spirit, you already have him in you. Why don't you let him in your soul and into your physical body, you know? It's really cool. You can come up when we have our prayer team out here later on and say, hey, I want the infilling of the Holy Spirit. It's a grace gift. All you have to do is ask. He'll give it to you. And sometimes it'll happen right here. I'll give you one little hint, though. You just can't come up and just be quiet. Close your mouth and say, fill me, Holy Spirit. You have to begin to praise him. You have to begin to let some air flow across your vocal cords. You have to begin to thanking him. And suddenly, some weird syllables will start to come out of your throat and your mouth. You know, hallelujah. What's that? And then you'll begin to speak those few weird syllables, and then those few weird words, and then it will turn into sentences, and then it'll turn into paragraphs, and you'll have it, and it'll be yours for the rest of your life. But anyway, if you want that, come get it later in the service. That's one of the things that God wants to do for people here today. We were going to read Acts 2:4. Yeah, I almost forgot that one. Acts 2:4. In the New King James Version. And they were all filled, diffused throughout their souls with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak in other different foreign languages or tongues, as the Spirit kept giving them clear and loud expressions in each tongue in appropriate words. Of course, this is when they were filled in Acts, but I had another scripture here. Oh, yeah, Acts 15:32. Let's do that one, too. I have a reason for that one as well. And Judas and Silas, who were themselves prophets, inspired interpreters of the will and purpose of God, urged and warned and consoled and encouraged the brethren with many words and strengthened them. That's not the right verse. I'll read it to you. I maybe put it. Here's what it is. It says, and the disciples were continually filled throughout their souls with joy and the Holy Spirit. So what if you read Acts, they just didn't get filled with the Holy Spirit once. It happened over and over again. They would get together and God would move. So I just want, when you get filled with the Holy Spirit, you just want to keep getting refilled. Try filling your car only once. It'll drive and run out and that's it. You got to keep refilling it to keep it going. We need that constant infilling of the Holy Spirit in our life as well. Well, the next miracle, let's do this one. Took place in 1972. My wife would probably be mad that I brought this miracle up. And we're going to read Proverbs 18:22, which is kind of the scripture for this miracle. He who finds a true wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. It's a weird story. You know, I teach my class over here, by the way, if any of you want to attend the adult class, it starts at 9 o'clock over here in the room there. We have a lot of fun in there, and maybe some of you, especially you online people, will actually get out of your jammies and come to church. But anyway, it tells that God had a destiny for each one of our lives before the foundation of the world. He knew each one of you were going to be there, and he has a destiny, things that he wants you to accomplish for his kingdom here on planet Earth. But of course, you have a choice. You can continue to live your own destiny, or you can choose to live out God's destiny. Hopefully, you are living out part or most or all of the destiny that God has for you. But his destiny for me was to marry her. Right? And you know, I just to tell you a quick story, the Assembly of God had a big youth rally. And all the Assembly of God churches sent their youth over to Clarkston, Washington. We got on this big yellow bus. And we went to Palouse Falls State Park. And yeah, we had some ministry, but we were there playing volleyball and watching the water go over, and it was a great day. And there was this really cute girl playing volleyball. She was a seventh grader, and I was an eighth grader, you know. And so anyway, when we got back to Clarkston, by the way, back then you could get your driver's license at 14. I had a driver's license at 14. I had my own car at 14, 1958 Ford. I had driven it down there from Julietta. And so I said, "Becky, would you like a ride home?" And she kind of shyly said, "Well, okay." She was going to have to call her parent. So she got in my Ford, and I took her up to the house. But she hugged over by the door and didn't hardly say a thing. And I let her out. And as I drove away, I said, "Well, it doesn't look like this relationship's going to go anywhere." And then that was a couple years later, my parents moved to Lewiston. So I ended up going to Lewiston High School. And lo and behold, I was a junior and Becky was a sophomore. And she was in the choir class that I was in. And we were also in a special singing group called Starlighters. And so we would go places and sing together. And we were friends. Once in a while, I would take her home from Starlighters. But she was going with other people and I was going with other girls. And we were just friends. All that changed when I was a junior in college. The other girl in my life at that time, God said, "Can't marry her. I'm moving her out of the way." And so I was free. And so I thought, "Becky, I think I'll ask her for a date." And so I did. And she said yes. And so we started dating. The dating turned in eventually to a proposal, and I was starting school working up here in 1972, and we got married on January 29th in 1972, and we have worked together loving each other and having two boys, and now I got seven wonderful grandkids, and we've been married for 53 years doing God's work. Anyway, that was a major miracle in my life. All right, here's another one. Let's jump to 1986. In the meantime, when I got to Kuski, started coaching besides teaching. I taught ancient history and U.S. history, and I taught spelling, and I taught keyboarding, and I just, and health, just about all sorts of things you could teach in a school there. And they also needed a football coach and a basketball coach. And then I said, "Well, see, I wrestled for Lewiston High School my last 2 years, so I said, let's start a wrestling program." And that was to help Don Burnside, who was the high school coach. And so I started a junior high wrestling program, and I started in the fifth grade. And these fifth graders, by the time they got to high school as a freshman, they already had 4 years of experience. And then Don took them even farther, and Clearwater Valley had an amazing program in the late 70s and early 80s. You can go to Clearwater Valley High School and look at all the district wrestling trophies and the state champions that came out of that program. But anyway, so for 14 years, I believed in doing it with the kids. I led all the calisthenics, did all the push-ups, all the burpees, and then they demonstrated holds on me, and I demonstrated holds on them, and they'd slam me to the mat, and I'd slam them to the mat. And the problem was, my lower back was getting beat up pretty bad. And for a while, I was walking around all the time with one shoulder like this because my vertebrae were twisted up, but it wasn't causing me any pain, so I just kind of ignored it. Then one morning in 1986, I tried to get out of bed. My body would not cooperate. And I finally got out of bed and I was walking around like this. And this was on a Monday morning. So I said, I got to do something about this. So I called a Christian chiropractor in Grangevale. And said, I need an adjustment really bad. So I went up there and he took x-rays of my back and he said, wow, he says, your lowest vertebrae in your lower back, it's twisted out about 14 degrees. And the one right above it's twisted out 11 degrees. And the one above that's twisted out 7 degrees. And yeah, I think I can get your back back in shape, but it's going to take multiple adjustments. He had this way of, he would put X's on your legs, and he would measure the different lengths of your leg, because when your vertebrae are twisted out, one leg's longer than the other. And then when he would do an adjustment, he would see how close the X's came in close to come together. So anyway, he gave me an adjustment, and I didn't feel any better at that particular time, but I just, well, thank you. And he made another appointment for me the Monday of the next week. So I went home, and guess what? Back then, we went to church every Wednesday, and my parents never missed. You know, you guys think an hour here at the Life Center, an hour was too much. I was in church every morning Sunday, in church every Sunday night, in church every Wednesday, in church in every week-long prayer revival that we had. You know, I grew up in church. When I was a baby, you know, I spent my childhood laying there in front of the pew, you know, and my parents never kept me home. I was in church, you know, constantly. And I learned how to behave in church because my parents would take me out quite frequently and tell me why I had to behave. So anyway, getting back to the story there that I was sharing with you. I went to church on that Wednesday night. Most people would have, you know, you ever know people? I hear people all the time, they're not feeling good. And so what do they choose? I'm going to stay home. I can't go to church. Well, I had learned that exciting things happen in church. There are Christians there. They know how to pray. They know how to believe. I'm going to go there. God might show up, but I won't be there. So I went there, and I kind of hobbled in and sat down in the church. And they were singing praise and worship music. And we had back in the Pentecostal Church of God, which was in Kameo, Idaho, at that particular time, right across from the car wash is in Kameo, Idaho, where Hans Rennell is. There was a little church building there, and that's where we went to church. But under Pastor Eldon and Ethel Bombly, having the Holy Spirit move was fairly a common occurrence. And we had tongues and interpretation quite often. And so anyway, I went to church on this Wednesday night, and they're singing, and all of a sudden, there was a message in tongues given. And for those of you who aren't used to tongues and interpretation, it goes like this. You're sitting in church, and all of a sudden, someone stands up and is going, Iyahana mahasiya, ukamahahatiya, inaninia shanda mahasiya, iyatatininia shanda mahasiya. That was my prayer language, in case you wanted to know. But everybody in the church, they were used to it. They all immediately got quiet because they knew there was going to be an interpretation, you know. That's what it says. I think that was the scripture I haven't put up there yet. Yeah, 1 Corinthians 14:5. Let's look at that one here real quickly. Paul is saying, now I wish that you might all speak in unknown tongues, but more especially, I want you to prophesy, to be inspired to preach and interpret the divine will and purpose. Is that who prophesies who is inspired to preach and teach is greater, more useful, and more important than he who speaks in an unknown tongue, unless he should interpret what he says so that the church may be edified and receive good from it. So, you know, the Holy Spirit's helping me today and giving me some things to say. So in essence, the Bible's saying there's a little prophecy going on even as I preach, as the Holy Spirit puts words in my mouth. But tongues and interpretation is equal with prophecy. And so back to my little demonstration, there was a word of tongues, and then the interpretation came, and I still remember what it was this day with my back hurting. It says, as the angel troubled the waters at the pool of Bethesda, I am troubling the waters here tonight. If you will believe and come forward, I will heal you. He didn't say John. It didn't make any difference. I'm going, that's God speaking. I'm getting up there, you know. I wanted to get under the faucet where the glory's coming out. And so I hobbled up there, and Brother and Sister Bromley, they prayed for me. And I wish I could say immediately I was running around the church, totally healed. I wasn't. I was still kind of, But I said, I don't care. God spoke. I believe I'm healed. So I went back the next morning when I got out of bed. I was better. My back was better on Thursday morning. On Friday, I got up. It was even better yet. On Saturday morning, I was completely without any pain, standing up. Everything was perfect. And then I went to church on Sunday, and I testified about the miraculous power of God healing my back. And then I went to see the chiropractor on Monday for my second appointment. And I went in there, and I said, okay, do what you got to do. Check my legs out, you know. And then I want to give you a testimony. And so he checked me out and got this kind of confused look on his face because all his X's were lined up exactly and my vertebrae were all perfectly back in place. And I said, and I told him about how God healed me and I had got my back supernaturally, chiropractically adjusted by the power of God. All right. I still have a little more time. I was going to getting a little farther than I thought I would be. I am going to share with you ahead of time what happened on July 1986. And I can just share with that. And then I want to share a couple more scriptures at about, it's 11:27, isn't it? Maybe I'm going to have to wait. Yeah. I was misreading the clock. I want to share a couple of scriptures with you. You saw the accident. If you come back next week, you're going to get to hear all of the miracles, you know, there. But let's go ahead and read a couple more scriptures here. And they are Mark 11, 22 through 24. So hopefully they will get up there. This is Jesus talking. Peter's just told him, look at that fig tree. It's dead. The one you cursed yesterday, it's dead. And Jesus is looking at him and going, hey, Peter, have faith in God constantly. And then Jesus goes on talking to his disciples and to us through the word of God. He says, truly, I tell you, whoever says to this mountain, you know what a mountain is? It's anything in your life that should not be there. It could be sickness, it could be disease, it could be bad habits, it could be addictions, it could be depression, it could be anything. But it says you can say to this mountain, be lifted up and thrown into the sea. And I like this part. Here's where most of us fail all the time and we don't receive the miracle that Jesus has given us by his blood being shed on the cross and being resurrected again. By the way, healing isn't something that is fresh today. Jesus died for your sins, past, present, and future, 2,000 years ago. And he took all sickness and disease on his body 2,000 years ago. And you just received that grace gift by faith. Going on with the scripture because I'm running out of time. And does not doubt at all in his heart, but believes that what he says will take place, it will be done for him. Verse 24 says, "For this reason, I am telling you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe, trust, and be confident that it is granted to you and you will get it." Who spoke those words? The Holy Spirit has been talking to you and you're saying, wow, the testimony of what Jesus has done in John's life and millions of other lives. Yeah, it can be a spirit of prophecy to me. He can do the same thing for me. You will be like the woman with the issue of blood who, after spending all her money and not being healed for 12 years, she heard the testimonies from people about Jesus and what he was doing. And to her, it was a prophecy. She said, wow, if I can just get to Jesus, I can get healed. And so she started out in faith. Faith without works is dead. And she went and she found Jesus. She probably had to get down on her knees and she wasn't even supposed to be out in public, you know, the Jewish laws for that particular thing. But she had already seen herself healed in her imagination, in her mind. All she had to get there is just touch the hem of his garment. You know the story. She touched it and the power of Jesus flowed into her body and she was instantly healed. And Jesus is going, who touched me? And the disciples are like, everybody is touching you. He says, no, somebody touched me with faith. I felt the virtue leave my body. And anyway, the woman told him that, and then Jesus said to her, woman, thy faith has made you whole. I am just believing that there are some people out here that your faith has grown hearing these testimonies. And the Holy Spirit has spoken to you and say, that mountain that you have in your life, why are you carrying it any longer? You can give it to me. You can speak to that mountain. You can command it to go in the sea. And our prayer team, if you will come up now, prayer team, I would love you to have you up here. I have one more verse to read, but come on up, prayer team. Got some oil here. I don't know. I think my wife might have some oil. I'll just put that down here. The other verse is another way you can get healed. And the prayer team, let's read the next verse. And James chapter 5, verse 14. Is anyone among you sick? He should call in the church elders, the spiritual guys, and they should pray over him, anointing him with oil in the Lord's name. And the prayer that is of faith will save him who is sick, and the Lord will restore him. And if he has committed any sins, it will be forgiven. These people have faith. They have all experienced the amazing works of God in their life. Few people online, you can do the same thing. You can speak to the mountain in your life, and God can remove it. You can't come up here because you're home. But these, if you're here this morning, you can come up in faith like that woman with the issue of blood, and they will join in faith with you, and the Holy Spirit that is within them and in you can bring a miracle in your life this morning. So if you want to, I'm going to just close out the service here and go down and join them and pray for anyone who comes up. But make sure you decide to come next week. You'll get to hear about some other great miracles that took place. But if you want God to cast a mountain out of your life, if you want to receive healing physically, mentally, emotionally, come forward this morning and let one of these people pray the prayer of faith over you. And thank you for coming today. We are dismissed. You can leave, but to God be the glory.